Hi, folks, and welcome to a previously released episode of the Rocker Dog Podcast. We have about a half dozen new shows ready to air, but need to schedule them closer to some new album release dates, so we found ourselves with an open week. So today we're bringing you an encore episode that originally aired around last year at this time, April 7th to be exact, featuring Jay Weinberg, who at the time was the drummer for Slipknot and has since moved on to lend his talents to both Infectious Grooves and Suicidal Tendencies. And these are still his life-changing Rocker Dogs.
So my dogs are Papaya and Pixie. They're both Petit Brabançon. They're little Griffies. And yeah, they're the loves of our lives. Like, Papaya is about 2.5. And Pixie is, she'll be 1 in July. So yeah, they're amazing dogs. I honestly can't think of what my life was like without them.
I love to hear that. And it's funny, I pulled a couple of quotes that you've mentioned in Instagram, and even, you know, a quote that one of your commenters said. But, you know, one of your quotes on International Puppy Day was, "Thanks for changing our lives, little girl." And I think that was particular to Papaya at the time, because Pixie wasn't in the scene yet. But what is it about these dogs that speak to you on such a deep level?
Man, well, it's a great question. I've been close to dogs like most of my life. My family, traditionally, we had pugs. So we got our first pug when I was 13, a girl named Natasha. And it was actually, it was a thought that my mom and dad had, that they wanted two dogs eventually. Like, we had cats like my whole adolescence and stuff, and early childhood. But I think I was just gravitating more towards dogs into my teenage years. And it was like, okay, we got to get a family dog. And so we didn't want one. We wanted two, so they could be, you know, pal around and stuff. So it was their idea. They wanted to name the dogs that we were going to get Natasha, Boris and Natasha, after the Rocky and Bullwinkle characters. But so we got Natasha first, and then her half brother, it was from a different father, I believe. Frank, we named him Frank because he just wasn't a Boris. And I like earlier in my childhood, I was obsessed with Men in Black. And I think that's where I like fell in love with the pug breed to begin with, was like when I was 7 years old, I saw Men in Black, and one of the main characters is a talking pug named Frank. So we had Natasha and Frank, and then a couple years later, we actually found a rescue pug, like a litter that needed rescuing. So we took the youngest, like the little runt out of that group, and his name was Henry. And so those were like my childhood dogs, like our family's dogs. And actually, sadly, Henry just passed this past year. At like really old age, like he was like 16 and had an amazing life. So, you know, that was kind of my foray into really, you know, being hands-on and caring for animals and for dogs and stuff. Cause with cats, you can kind of just like a lot of the time they're left to their own devices, and they kind of prefer to just do things on their own. But dogs, especially pugs, and then when you get into like Velcro dogs like Brussels Griffons, they really you know, they demand that that personal connection with you literally like all the time. So that was my first experience with that, and I think that was really helpful in just like, you know, caring for something that needs caring for, you know, and having my first sense of like actual responsibility, you know, in my life, really, when I was like 13, was like, oh, I'm caring for this, you know, this thing. And obviously that was like my pets, my family pets. But now, you know, my wife and I, you know, we moved in Nashville, and then at the beginning of COVID happening, we had already been talking about I think it's, you know, we're ready for, you know, for something to take care of. We're ready for a dog, and we're obsessed with Griffies. Like, you know, it's like, it's, they're our favorite dogs. When we meet them, you know, out in the wild and stuff, they're just so much fun. And they very much feel like our speed of a dog, you know, like they're everything about them. So that's how Papaya came into our life. And yeah, she really, you know, it was my first semblance as an adult of like, here's something that's completely under our supervision and our care, you know, and that does change your life. You know, your priorities shift a little bit, where now, you know, you're not being such a, you know, like a selfish late 20-year-old or something like that, you know, when you're living life on your own terms. Now you do have just something that needs, you know, your constant care and companionship, and we love it. Like we were ready for that challenge and for that, you know, for the beauty of all that a new dog brings to your life, you know? So yeah, so it completely like overnight just changed how I look at life and how, you know, she's like the first, besides, you know, my wife and myself, it's like she was our first kind of foray into like, okay, we're creating like our little family here, right? You know, and then you know, a lot of steps in between, but then it obviously to us made sense. It's like, okay, we want to get a dog for our dog and give her some companionship, because I think that's also something, is that like being a COVID puppy, you know, like she didn't know too much like interaction with people or with other dogs, so she was very much like an only child at first, and she didn't have much interactivity besides us. So, but she would love, whenever she would meet another dog, she would love it and she would love playing and stuff. So I was like, okay, you know, I think it's time for us to you know, now we'll be balancing even, you know, double the everything it takes for new like dog parents. But yeah, it like made complete sense. And when we got Pixie, it was like, oh my God, how do we not have both of them? It's like, you know, there's those moments in your life where I think you kind of wonder like how you ever operated, or like when you find your partner, or you find your, you know, your pets and stuff. It's like, what was life even like before you were around? I don't get how that would work.
Yeah, so true. So true. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that she's a Velcro type of dog, mm-hmm. you know, and I looked up the breed, and some of the things that were thrown out were smart, devoted, and comically self-important, which stood out to me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, given the two personalities, how do they, are they much alike, or are they kind of have their own little thing going on between Pixie and Papaya?
They have some things in common, but we did notice like pretty much off the bat, it's like, because we had gotten used to, you know, we had Papaya for, I suppose, like almost 2 years before we got Pixie. And so we were used to Papaya's personality and her, the things she likes to do every day and what, you know, how she wants her nap time and stuff like that. So we got used to that. And then when we got Pixie, they had similarities, but it was like, oh my God, this is amazing seeing a dog that's totally different as well. When we got her, we didn't know if Papaya would be jealous, if she'd be like, what is this thing that you're bringing into our world or whatever. But Pixie immediately just chose to run the show. She was like, wow, who are you? I guess I live here now and I'm going to, you know, just run your world. So she was just like, you know, Papaya didn't have much like playful interactions with dogs on a daily basis, and now all of a sudden she's got this rambunctious little, you know, little girl just like totally running, you know, running her wild every day. And so that was an adjustment, but she's grown, you know, Pixie's definitely grown into herself a little bit, and she's started to mature and learn, you know, the dynamics of like sisterhood, I suppose. And what we notice is that like Papaya is, how do I put this? Pixie's like really good in the ways that Papaya is like, she'll be a nuisance and stuff, where Pixie's just like, she wants to behave well. She really wants to impress Papaya all the time. Like she just looks up to her so much. And so we noticed that pretty much off the bat, that like, if Papaya would be misbehaving or barking at people, you know, while we're on a walk or something, and she just wants to say hi, she's just very, you know, she is very friendly, she's never like snapped at anyone, but you know, but she'll bark and get really animated and stuff, whereas Pixie just wants to be really good, and she's very well behaved. And they kind of oscillate between the two, because we noticed when we got Pixie that Papaya immediately snapped into this kind of mode of like, well, I'm the older sibling, and I, you know, I do everything better than you. So, you know, I'm going to be the well-behaved one while you're just like running around like crazy. But we noticed that they kind of like switch on and off. They take turns being the naughty one. But Pixie is like, she's very, very sweet. She's a lot quieter than Papaya was even at that age, where Papaya started to like learn how to bark and she would hear a sound from outside and like kind of go crazy. Pixie's very much quiet. It takes a lot for her to like to say something.
But is, I love she, is she as needy Velcro wise, like needing to be held or close?
For sure.
So do you, between you and your wife, do you guys have, you know, are you, you take Pixie, she takes Papaya, or vice versa? Or is it just kind of whatever the situation presents itself?
If I'm being honest, they probably both just like gravitate towards her even more than one of them chooses me. I think that's by nature of like, sometimes dad leaves for like a month at a time, you know, when I go out on tour and stuff. So they are very Velcro with me, but I think they also get used to that time with Chloe being like, you know, well, you know, you're on tour for like a month. So when we're in bed, they just want to, yeah, they just sandwich you in. So usually it's like one of them on either side of her, but every now and then, like, you know, yeah, Pixie, I think she gravitate towards, you know, she'll gravitate towards hanging out with me. And then Papaya knows that she can like relax with mom and mom's going to protect her from this wild child. And I'll like, you know, I'll like try to get try to get Pixie's energy expended, you know, otherwise and go a little crazy with her. And then hopefully she'll chill out and not bother Papaya. Cause that was like something that we were like, you know, we were very worried about, is there, that Velcro attachment thing is like very real. And I didn't want kind of any emotional upheaval in Papaya's life, because now, you know, she has to share things, she has to share time, and you know, like now they're having breakfast together, so she has to, you know, now she has to feel like she has to protect her food or whatever. So we try to encourage them to just like not be in each other's business like that, to the point where it's annoying. But yeah, no, for sure, they like, they get pretty good. Like when if we're like, you know, on the couch or something, they like, one of them will choose me and then one of them will choose Chloe, and then like it ends up that both of them just want to be around Chloe. I think that's just like who they imprint on, or who, what, like they just imprint on the mother, and that's like, that's their connection. I'm okay, yeah, with that. I don't,
it's,
take offense.
It sounds like it's the girls club if they're all, you know, they're all females, right?
It is.
Travel wise, I noticed on, you know, obviously you're a touring musician with Slipknot. I see your wife joins you on occasion. Who do you trust the dogs with when you, you know, when there's extended periods of time you have to leave?
Friends and family will have like, you know, they'll watch over. We'll just have them like, hey, do you want to live at our house? And just take care of the girls. And so that's been a huge help in that, you know, we've had a great community, whether it is literally our family or really, really close friends who will just, you know, they'll be there with them 24/7. And luckily we have friends who in this day and age is fortunate to be able to have like work remotely, where it's like, oh yeah, I can just stay at your house, yeah, watch the girls, and I can work from my laptop. And it works to our advantage for sure. It's always a tricky balance. We sometimes have to sacrifice like, oh, okay, you know, nobody's necessarily available because they have their own lives. So it's like, okay, Chloe won't join me for this part of our touring or whatever. So that, and that's just all part of like life balance, you know, just understanding that, you know, we can't always have the fortune of being together on tour or always having, you know, whatever. It's just, that's how you kind of balance your responsibilities and try not to spend too much, you know, time away from each other. I think I've noticed, like, you know, as I've grown older and stuff, it is nice to try to bring some normality to otherwise situations that are like otherwise totally in flux. I mean, like being on tour is very normal to me now, but it does help you kind of get through like a prolonged period of time away from home, especially because like we spent the majority of the last like 15 months out on tour. You know, it is nice, and we are very fortunate to be able to be on tour with our partners, not necessarily with dogs, because I think, you know, once you introduce that element to it, then it can kind of go sideways. And
yeah,
I would feel like the biggest jerk if, you know, if Papaya was incessantly barking and waking somebody up on our tour bus or something. That would, yeah, be sure, no good. But you know, it's all just a balance, just like anything. You know, I try not to, if I can help it, I like to, you know, be able to check in with them from time to time on tour. And sometimes you're able to do that without them even being on tour. Sometimes we'll be like within driving distance of home and they'll tag along, and we will have the dogs out with us like on the road for a little bit, where my wife can like drive to each show and we can have the dogs with us for, you know, for a little bit of time. So, So that is nice. But yeah, it definitely is a balance. I'm sure a lot of touring, you know, people in our touring environment who have dogs can relate to that, it's definitely a challenge of balancing it.
Yeah. On Instagram, I see a lot of posts about the dogs being upset because the bag is being packed and they sense what's going on and they know what's going on. And I've seen it on your Instagram.
Totally. Yeah. I don't think Papaya understood what the suitcase meant probably on the first tour that she saw me go out on, but I clearly remember on the second one, she saw it come out. And when I wasn't looking, she just walked into my suitcase and just pooped right in the middle of it.
Oh no, you're kidding.
She was like, I hate this thing. This means that you're leaving. Yeah, she so actually we've found a way to for me to get ready for tour where she doesn't see it. And it is sad. I mean, I don't enjoy that element of like having to leave home, because you can see they understand, you know, they understand the disappointment of like, oh, I haven't seen that thing in like a month, and now it's coming back out. That means Dad's going to be away for a while. And then my wife will send me videos of them just kind of like looking at the door, waiting for me to walk in for like weeks. And like 3 weeks in, I can tell that it's like impacting Papaya's, like, you know, her moods and stuff. And in fact, that was one of the tipping factors for us, was just to keep more companionship in her life and stuff, is that like I don't want her being that sad when I leave, because it's just the nature of what I do. So then it was like, okay, let's get her a friend, let's get her a sister, and that'll keep her, you know, companionship levels up a little bit more. When I am gone, maybe she'll, you know, it'll affect her less emotionally. And I think that's proven to be true. I think she really, you know, she really enjoys being a big sister, even if she bullies Pixie when Pixie just wants to like impress her and play with her and stuff. And if she like, I don't want to play or whatever, she really does love Pixie. So I find that's been like beneficial to our whole experience, was like, okay, this is the right choice, getting our dog a dog.
Yeah. So tell me about the wedding. I noticed there were pictures of Papaya and you and your wife for your wedding pictures. Was she, did she make a role in the wedding, or did she just make an appearance for photos?
Yeah, she was like, she was the flower girl. Yeah. So she had a little kind of like flower bouquet on her collar. And it was amazing. Like, we were so impressed, because it was, I think it might have been a little overwhelming, even though it was like a really small wedding. It was only like 20 people. She didn't really get to have a nap that day. So she was like incredibly well behaved. By the time the ceremony came around, she was just like, you know, and again, it was the first time she'd been around 20 people like in her life, because we had gotten her maybe 4 months before that, if that, maybe 2 months. And so, of course, like, we needed to have her as part of the wedding. Even like, we had a friend of ours, instead of doing like wedding photos or engagement photos, we had a very talented artist friend of ours make like an engagement art piece that featured Papaya in it as well, because it's like, that's our family, you know, like. We completely, you know, I mean, I know the difference between having your own human children and having dogs, but it's like, you know, this is our first foray into like true, real responsibility. And I feel like that is, you know, that's part of your family. I wouldn't consider her any less a family member than any one of my human relatives. Yeah. You know what I mean? So of course, yeah, we had to find a role for her in the wedding. And so she was the flower girl, and she was right up front and like totally well behaved, didn't make a peep. And we were very, very impressed.
Yeah. I'll have to share some of the pictures once this episode goes up. It's very, very cute. Speaking of artists, you were mentioning, you know, an artist, you know, helped you with your wedding stuff. And I know you're an artist yourself. Oftentimes my guests have a tattoo, you know, saluting their pet or memorializing their pet. And I know you've got Papaya's name in your arm. And my question to you is, what was the creative process behind that? Because you, as an artist, I know it just wasn't, I'm going to write it. Did you explore, like, is it going to be a picture? What's the style? What's the, you know, if it's a, you know, if it is type, is it a font? Is it a script?
Yeah. So I have a great friend, BJ Betts, who's an amazing, very well-known tattoo artist, who his specialty is like incredible lettering. And he had tattooed friends of mine. That's how we met. We had actually met a couple years before. I did a painting, like a live painting event with Vans shoe company at an event they were holding in Huntington Beach. So I was like in a stall. The guy who's like the animator for Bob's Burgers was doing nice. Like caricatures of people in one stall. And then BJ was tattooing a little Flash in the next stall. And so he actually tattooed my wife and we met and he, you know, hit it off. He's a really great guy. And so when we got Papaya, it was just this, like, it was a, you know, a connection unlike anything I've ever felt in my life. And I just felt like, I mean, it's traditionally like you kind of hear it's bad luck to get your partner's name tattooed on you or something. Yeah. But I feel like, you know, it was apropos of this event in our life of like, she's my dog. She's, you know, the first real thing that I've had, like the true responsibility of like making sure she, you know, she grows up the way that we want her to grow up and have a great life. And so I felt, I took that really to heart. And so, you know, and I just like, my wife came up with her name and I just love the name Papaya, because I don't think I've ever met another dog named Papaya. And I was like, oh man, if I get that tattooed, I bet BJ would like do a great job. Cause it's like incredible, you know, it's very ornate, very beautiful. Yep. Script. And he just totally killed it. So I haven't gotten Pixie yet though. So I have to balance it out with Pixie. And I don't know if we've talked about like, oh man, now that we have Pixie, like what if we got another Griffey and just keep adding to this party? And it's like, I'm going to run out of space of tattoos soon. But yeah, it was very meaningful to get Papaya memorialized in that way. Cause you know, I feel like that connection with her is, you know, it's eternal for sure. And I don't think that's unique. I think like everybody who has that serious of a connection with their pet really, you know, really feels that way.
Yeah, agree. I would have to go through my list of, you know, we're probably pushing 30 episodes so far. And I'd say almost half the people I've talked to have ink of their pet in some way, shape or form.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's probably something to that in with like people who get tattoos and stuff like you know, some are meaningful, some just, you know, are whatever, like body decoration and stuff like that. But I feel like we're always motivated to adorn yourself with like artwork that just tells your story, and you know, in a way. And so it's like, she's such a huge part of our life. Both of them are. So to me, it's like, I couldn't imagine not having them in my life now, you know. It's like, of course I'll have them with me forever, you know, on my body. That's pretty great.
Yeah. I also want to ask you about, there's a picture of her, and this goes back probably to close to when you got her, but she has a cast. Did she break her arm, or was there a story behind that?
Yeah. The most stressful night, like worst experience ever. Yeah. This goes back to October 2020, I believe. So she was probably about 5 months old. And yeah, she, we were in Salem, Massachusetts, and we were walking around. We were visiting some friends up there and just exploring Salem in October, like typical kind of like tourists checking out that kind of stuff. And we brought her walking around, and we were in like a park where there were a bunch of dogs. Not many, but probably like one or two. So people were just like walking their dogs. And I think we were just trying to get her to like go to the bathroom before we went to back to our Airbnb or hotel or something. And she had seen, I was holding her. I think we were like walking back to our car, and I was holding her, and there was like a Great Dane off the side or something. And I don't think she had never seen a dog like that big. And it freaked her out so bad that like there was no even like warning that she was like freaked out. Like she was totally chill, just kind of like in my arms. And then she just got crazy spooked and ran, like she was in my arms and ran up my shoulder, tried to like run up my neck. And I tried myself to like pound, like just get right down on the ground, because I felt like I was like losing control of her. And she was probably about like 4.5 feet off the ground or something. Like by the time I was like crouching down, she probably fell from about like elbow height, and she fell right on her leg, and it snapped in half. And then all of a sudden she's screaming, and I'm just like, I like totally blue screen. I it was the most frightened I've like ever been in my life. Cause all of a sudden here's this, you know, this creature who's like the most important thing to me, And all of a sudden now she's like screaming in pain. And I mean, to this day, I still have like minor PTSD from it because it was so, it was just so traumatic. And I, you know, we didn't know what to do. Right. It was like super, you know, it was like, maybe not super late at night, but it was probably like, you know, we had just had dinner. It was probably like 10 at night or something like that. So we're like, oh my God, what do we do? We're in a place that we've never been in before. Like, what do we do? Thankfully, I still reflect on how truly fortunate and lucky we were. We have some family friends who live around the Boston area who have dogs and have had dogs. And we called them. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to call them and see if they have any recommendation what to do. And thankfully our friends were like, bring them, like just get right on the highway, go right to Angel Animal Hospital. It's A-N-G-E-L-L Animal Hospital. It's like right in Boston. And it turns out, you know, none of us planned it this way, but it turns out like that's like one of, if not the best animal hospital, like in the US. Right. They get all their training, all the doctors there get their training from like Tufts, I believe, is near there. So they're just like incredibly talented, you know, animal doctors and vets and stuff. And so we brought her right there. And I mean, we are freaking out. It was like her leg, you know, it looked like one of those horrible skateboard accidents that you see when you fall on your leg or something. It's an L shape. It's completely broken in half.
Oh gosh.
Oh my God. Yeah. I hate thinking about it. but we were very fortunate in that she was young enough to where, you know, the bone was going to heal. Okay. They need it. She was just big enough. If she was any smaller, they told us that she would have had to have a cage with a couple screws outside of her leg.
Ooh, yeah.
To help it heal, because you couldn't do like an invasive surgery without like with something that small. Like if she was any smaller, it would have had to have been like this external cage, which would have been a lot more complicated of a healing process. But thankfully she had just grown big enough to where the absolute smallest plate that they could fit in her leg to then screw the pieces back together did fit in her leg. So she's a little bit, you know, she's
a little bionic.
Yeah, a little bionic dog. And she, you know, she's more metal than all of her dog friends. She has, you know, she has a metal plate in her arm. And it was a real lesson for me and my wife with just like responsibility and crisis management. And just like, you know, we had to snap to and make decisions real quick. And just like, oh my God, it was like so crazy traumatic, but thankfully it wasn't worse than it was. And you know, that she didn't like hit her head or something or whatever. I mean, like, I mean, to this day, it's really hard for me to like let myself off the hook, even though it wasn't intentional, but it was just one of those freak accidents that you don't know how to overcome it until you're just like in it and your adrenaline is going and you got to figure out what to do and try to save this, you know, this creature who can't help themselves. And so, yeah. and she's all good. Her healing went great. And she, you know, probably about like 7 or 8 weeks after that, she was back to like running around and stuff. And she grew much more. And her bone is like, we took her to get the x-ray, you know, looked at, and they were like, this healed perfectly. Like it's as if it like never even happened. Although now she has a metal plate in her arm. But yeah, you know, that was scary. But you know, my like endless lifelong gratitude to the people at Angel. Like I honestly could not imagine what it would have been like if we didn't have them. They were like truly incredible to have them take care of that.
Yeah. Well, that's great to hear. And thank you for sharing that story. I fortunately haven't had anything in that degree of difficulty. You know, I've had emergency visits and this and that, but I feel for you and would also encourage you to like, you should have no guilt. My dogs jumped out of my arms numerous times and everyone who listens to the show can relate. So, but yes, glad it all worked out.
Thank you. Yeah. It's, you know, it's one of those things you know, thankfully it just wasn't worse. And now, you know, whenever I take her for a walk or whenever I have her in my arms, I do like, I do carry that with me. It's like, I, you know, I have like a definite grip on her harness now. Right. It's like that. Like it's like, oh man, you know, that'll wake you up. But yeah, thankfully she's all good.
Excellent. Well, listen, as time winds down, I do what I call the zoomies, and that's the last five quick questions.
Okay.
So the first question I've seen photographic evidence of, but I'll ask it anyways, and that is, do you kiss your dogs on the mouth?
Oh, sure. I mean, they don't give me any choice. You know, they're absolute like lick monsters, you know? So we've tried to curb them from being like so intense, especially when like people come over and they're all up in their business and stuff. It's so embarrassing when you're like, oh my God, get off my dad or whatever. But no, I mean, hey, you know, it's like, I don't know. Yeah. I have no issue kissing my dogs on the mouth. Okay,
that is the correct answer.
Yeah.
Question two, what I'm looking for is a shameless name dropping, and it doesn't always work out this way, but have any of the girls licked anyone famous?
I could say, I mean, my dad, I would say is a notable, you know, well-known musician who they've licked him on the face countless times. He loves them too. Like, you know, now that our childhood dogs have passed and they, you know, they don't have any dogs of their own. We've actually gone down to them to visit and left the dogs with them for a little bit. And like, it's my dad, you know, they're his grand dogs, you know? Yeah. So he gets to spoil them and oh yeah, they definitely, you know, they're Velcro on him as well. So yeah, I'll go with that. They've kissed my dad. There's a famous musician.
Okay. Hey, that's a good answer. Yeah. Question three is, could you give either of them a theme song? Is there a song that kind of typifies who they are? Or is there a song that you kind of sing to them at times? Or
yeah, what early on, so I was unaware of this, but I found it completely fitting that there's the group from Japan, Baby Metal. They had people were asking me when we first, you know, came out with Papaya as our pet. Everyone's like, oh my God, did you name her after the Baby Metal song? And I was like, I didn't even know that they have a song called Papaya, and it's not like Papaya, like we named her after the fruit, but they have a song that's like Papaya. And it's like, it, you know, it's like this very energetic, like action kind of song. And so that was like Papaya's theme song for a little bit. Once we determined that it's like, oh my God, this band has like a, you know, a theme song that works for her. Yeah, totally. So that was like Papaya's theme song that we had for her for a little bit. Oh man, I know I'm just blanking of what, like, we'll turn anything into a theme song for them. Like we could turn, you know, we could turn Master of Puppets into a theme song for the dogs. So pretty much, I mean, if you're around us, like around the house and stuff, we're pretty much turning anything that we're listening to into a theme song for the dogs.
Okay. Sounds a lot like my house. Okay. Question four is, do you have a dog voice? Do you use a dog voice to speak to the girls, or do you give them a dog voice to personify them?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. We've definitely like, cause we'll try to work out like what Papaya is thinking about. Their voice is often your like stereotypical, how do I put this character? Like any character in like a 90s movie who's like a little kid with like a stuffed up nose. Right. Like that's like their voice, like, oh come on mom, oh you won't let me, oh come on mom. Like that's like, it's a lot easier when I'm in the moment with Papaya or Pixie. Sure. But like, if you're about like having that connection with your dogs, how do you not try to like crawl into their brain and personify them with a voice and stuff? I mean, like, yeah, I'm sure if you took footage from my you know, like our security cameras around our house, it'd be like incredibly embarrassing. But yeah, for sure. We're talking to our dogs like all the time.
I love that. Well, get me some of that footage for promotion of this particular episode.
Sure.
It's funny. I want to bring up, there's a commenter, and I, you know, playing in a band like Slipknot. And I know when you're growing up, that essay that you put on online, you know, talking about hockey and, you know, aggressiveness, and, you know, a commenter wrote, even the most hardcore guys have a soft side. And I'm really seeing that today. So thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Last question. Question five is, do you have a dog organization that you just want to call attention to that, you know, maybe you guys have been around?
Yeah, there's a great organization called Wags and Walks, who have a couple chapters in the US, but they have one in Nashville that my wife has worked with and actually gotten a few dogs herself adopted from there. They're a great organization. you know, just helping to connect dogs in need who need a home. And so Wags and Walks in Asheville, they're fantastic. They're doing good stuff.
Okay, great. I'll get some more information for the outro. I was going to ask you, you know, by the amount we see of the dogs on your social feed, do your fans and maybe even fellow musicians, do they ask about your dogs on occasion?
Yeah, actually, yeah. A lot of friends that like we will tour with, the first thing, you know, like we'll see friends like in Europe, you know, around like festivals and stuff. And the first thing, if it's a person I haven't seen in like a year or something, their first question is like, oh my God, how's Papaya? Now that we have Pinkney, like, how are the girls? How are the dogs? So it's awesome that like our friends kind of feel like a stake in their well-being and their, you know, their little story as they're growing up and stuff. But yeah, like a lot of people, they're like, is that a pug? Is that like, what kind of dog is that? And so we get people fascinated about Griffies, cause they are a very particular dog. Like they're not pugs. And I know, because I had pugs for over a decade. And so they're very much their own kind of dog. And so people want to know about it like all over, but yeah. And we'll have like very nice, you know, people who will come to the shows and stuff. They'll be like, oh my God, how's Papaya? How's Pixie? And some will make like, you know, some drawings of them to give us and stuff. So it's awesome to know that like, not only do they enrich our lives, but they seem to enrich, you know, the lives of people that are checking out what we're doing creatively. Like that's pretty cool.
That's great. That's great to hear. I'm glad I got that question, because it is really nice to hear that they spread so much enjoyment throughout the world, actually. So
yeah,
even better.
It's awesome. Yeah, I'm very happy that they bring, you know, bring a little bit of happiness to people's days. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, Jay, thank you for bringing happiness into my day and sharing your girls with me. I really appreciate you taking the time, and I wish you nothing but the best in, you know, 2023 and beyond.
My pleasure. Well, likewise. Thank you very much.